Blog Talk Radio.
Back on live, you already know what it is, man. I'm gonna do a segment right here for a couple minutes here. Gonna talk some Jemele Hill, ESPN, Donald Trump bullshit that's going on. Let me get the bro right up in here. Fam, what's good, man?
Salute, my brother. What's good, man? How you?
How you, brother? I'm good, man. I can't call it, man. My dude,
let's just
get right into this shit, man. So Monday, ESPN anchor Jemele Hill, that you and I probably watched Jemele from back cold pizza days type shit. You know what I'm saying? She made her ranks through ESPN. Her and Michael Smith, holding down ESPN Sports Center at 6 o'clock. I don't know how you felt as a sports guy, as you and I, we know this 6 o'clock spot is a very good spot for people like Michael Smith and Jemele Hill to hold down that fort at 6 o'clock. First, let's talk about them getting that slot at six. When you first heard that they were going to get the slot at 6 o'clock, what was your initial thoughts?
That was a great look for them. I was so used to seeing them come on after First Take and, you know, them doing that noon slot that, you know, it blew my mind that they got, I mean, that's prime time in the sports world. 6 o'clock
Word.
On ESPN is prime time. So salute to them for getting it. I was surprised the brass at ESPN decided to give them that look. That's a great look from them. So I actually thought it was great. I thought it was a great look.
So Monday, Jemele goes on Twitter, and she went on a Twitter, if you want to call it a Twitter rant, and really spoke her mind, how she felt about the alleged president of the United States, Donald Trump. He is a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president of my life. He's unqualified. Now you have Miss Sarah Huckabee Sanders, sound like some old redneck ass lady and shit, demanding for Jemele to get fired, my dude. What are we doing here?
First of all, the fact that her freedom of speech, which is the First Amendment, is being attacked from the podium of the President of the United States. The first time the woman heard it, a reporter asked Sarah Sanders Huckabee, and she said it's a fireable offense. As it gained traction, knowing that Donald Trump is a guy who all he does is watch TV, watches cable news, he loves his sports stars, then the next day they demand that she be fired. That only comes because Donald Trump, who is a petty, vindictive, spiteful man, wants that to happen. And that's where we are now in 2017, where the President of the United States wants people fired for being against him. The funny thing about it is that...
Hold on, let me ask you a question. Before you go, Sean, let me ask you a question. Let's play the devil's advocate for a second. I know you hate playing this game with me, but let's just play it right quick. For a sister to say that in the spot that she's in, do you think maybe she should have kept that to herself and not put that out there because she had to know the backlash was going to come when she hit send? Like, let me ask you a question. Me and you do a show here together, right? Let's say we had a 6 o'clock slot, and they're looking at Sean and Dre on TV, right? And I put that out there. I would have to know when I hit send that backlash is going to come. And ESPN, obviously, Disney Channel, this, that, and the third, they're trying to remove themselves from that situation. We would know that. They're not going to stick up for black folk. Let's be real. We're not expecting that.
Well, she said that it wasn't the right setting for her to express that type of opinion. The fact of the matter is she did not say it on her show. I mean, if any of you guys watch First Take with Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman says this about Trump all the time, but he says it in an intelligent and articulate way where you don't feel insulted. So the thing about Trump is, so people are like, why is Trump being called a white supremacist? Why would she say that? He has a lot of black celebrity athlete friends. So they are like, you know, Trump might not be racist, you know? Well, yeah, you're right. He does have black friends like Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather, who recently gave an interview and said, Donald Trump speaks like a real man. The way Donald Trump talks about grabbing women's pussy is the way all men talk. It's locker room talk. That's what Floyd Mayweather recently said. It's trending on Twitter right
now. Let me ask you a question. Is he all the way wrong on that comment, though? Are we going to act like me and you, we know how squadrons works. You know, they brothers do have those conversations in the locker room, though?
He said Donald Trump is a real man for saying it after LeBron James repudiated him. After LeBron James categorically said, that's not locker room talk with me. They
right.
interviewed LeBron James right after that. He said, we're not in the locker room saying when we walk up to a woman, we grab them by the pussy and they don't do nothing. He said, that's not how we talk. Floyd Mayweather is extremely ignorant. Okay, let's be very clear. Floyd Mayweather is the same guy who said, not Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. Okay? I'm not going to go into the details on why that's ridiculous to say. But Floyd Mayweather is a very ignorant man. The one thing Donald Trump and Floyd Mayweather have in common is they love money and like making money. So when you think of Donald Trump and you think of the black people he actually knows, who are they? They are famous, rich, black people. Many people defended Jemele Hill. Many, many, many people, including ESPN, people who work at ESPN. They were sub-tweeting her. You know, Carrie Champion, who works for ESPN, who used to work on First Take, even she
right.
put a picture of her and Jemele Hill together. A lot of people feel this way. Donald Trump was surrounded by white supremacists. When Donald
let me piggyback on what you said. Let's be real, my nigga. Hold on a second. Is it safe to say that a lot of people at ESPN, white, black, Hispanic, Indian, Asian, whatever you want to call them, probably all feel the same goddamn way Jemele Hill feels? Let's be real.
I believe they do. And, you know, it's just and people always say they don't want politics in sports. They don't want to inject politics in sports. Well, guess what?
I hear that so much lately. For the last couple of days, that's been the talk.
And you know what? Why that talk is bullshit? Because when you go to a Boston Red Sox game and they say racism is as American as baseball, they put that banner out at Fenway Park, the last team in Major League Baseball to have a black player play on. Boston, where somebody broke into Bill Russell's apartment and shitted on his bed while Bill Russell never goes there. That city. The city that put up a statue of Bobby Orr, who has one championship compared to Bill Russell, who has 11. So everybody hates for race or politics to be put in sports, but it's always been in sports. And you know, it ain't going nowhere.
And let me say something. Donald Trump in 2012 put a tweet out and called President Obama at the time a racist. He didn't get reprimanded. It was all gravy when he said that shit. So I don't really see, I mean, like I said, in her position, I guess that's why people are having a backlash. But for people like the press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, to come out, jump out her face and demand that Jemele gets fired. And shout out to Michael Smith also, because he said if she gets fired, he's walking out also. So I'm glad to see that our partner is riding with her through this storm.
By the way, salute to him 100%. I mean, I have nothing but respect and admiration for him for saying that. Okay? I have nothing but respect and admiration for Michael Smith for saying that. Okay? Because that's, you know, give me a break. They call it the First Amendment for a reason. Freedom of speech.
And Sean, let me tell you, she's getting attacked because I'm seeing tweets right now. Oh, Jemele Hill, 9/11, you don't post 9/11 tweets. You're a fucking piece of shit. You don't love this country at all. I guess you're oppressed too. If that is the most dumbest-ass tweet I've ever seen in my fucking life, I'm sorry, dude, whoever said that, Jemele Hill. Shut your fuck ass up, man. Just shut up, man, for real. Quit 9/11. To the comments that she made, please. Let's not do that. That's weak.
Politics and sports are forever intertwined now. We have a reality TV star as the president of the United States.
Facts.
The world
slow that down. slow that down and you can see the voice, please. Slow that down.
We have,
for real. That's the real shit.
We have a reality TV star who's known for The Apprentice. That's what he's known for, saying, you're fired. This country voted for him to be president of the United States. So politics is turned upside down on its head right now. And let's not forget, America, this is the same country that in the largest state voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger to be the governor, strictly because he was the Terminator, strictly because they knew him as a movie star. You understand that? That's how much people don't give a fuck about politics. But if they know you and you're famous, they will fuck around and vote for you. So we are in different times now. So all these, I don't want to see race or politics injected in sports, that era's over with. It's injected into it. You know what I'm saying? That's that. Salute to Jemele Hill. I hope ESPN's just, I hope their little talk and reprimand was all that it's going to be. Because she has tons of support. Tons.
And shout out to Robin Lundberg, too, because I seen him do a segment on YouTube, and he was riding with Jemele Hill hard body, man. He was riding with her. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I agree with everything she said. We all feel the same way that she said it. It's not a secret.
Word
it's
up.
Not no newsflash, breaking news type shit that America, even white, some white, listen, I even feel white folks that voted for Donald Trump regret it right now, my nigga, if you want to take it there. That's why I've been feeling like that.
Well, the only way I'll know if that's true is when the next election comes. That's the only way I'll know if that's true.
Facts. I agree with that. Do you think ESPN is going to play themselves in fire? They're going to feel pressured?
No, because there could be a domino effect. Because I believe Michael Smith would leave. Then I believe the black voices will be forced and compelled, the black person to speak out and say something. And
Like whom?
Like pardon.
Stephen A. Smith and Bomani Jones and them niggas?
And Michael Wilbon and Carrie Champion, they will have to verbally speak out like, this isn't fair. You know what I'm saying?
You think, you said, use the words, they will have to. You think they really going to stick their neck out and do that, though? Let's be real.
It's not sticking
their
neck
world,
out.
Everybody try to, we live in a world where people try to protect their careers and family, and they paying this person's mortgage, and they're trying to protect themselves.
Michael
you think
Smith,
people are going to jump
Michael
out the
Smith
window?
Michael Smith said he would leave his job, but Michael Smith threatened ESPN by saying, I will leave my job if they fired her.
Yeah, but that's a partner, my nigga. That's a partner.
I mean,
you were partners. That's partnership.
Wait a minute. We've seen partnerships where somebody's been fired and another person would stay. We've seen that plenty of times. What I'm saying is that remember when Colin Kaepernick took that knee, it forced a lot of uncomfortable black athletes and black celebrities to speak about it. And when they spoke about it, they either played themselves or they showed that they were knowledgeable on the realities of today. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened when Colin Kaepernick took that knee. That's why you got people like Aaron Rodgers who have to speak about it, and to your man Tom Brady who's like, oh, I really haven't been paying attention. Because obviously in the world Tom Brady lives in, he has no clue of what's going on with Colin Kaepernick because obviously that news hasn't penetrated, you know, Tom Terrific's stratosphere. Tom Terrific, Trump supporter. You know what I'm saying? He can't speak
Robert
about
Kraft.
It. Aaron Rodgers can speak about it. Aaron Rodgers can speak about it. Okay. So, you know what I'm saying? So I feel it'll be something like that if Jemele Hill got fired. Hopefully ESPN just gives her the talk. They distance themselves, and that's as far as it should go, as far as I'm concerned.
And that's what Al Sharpton also on TMZ, he said straight up and down, if they boycott Jemele Hill, we'll boycott ESPN. That's coming from Al Sharpton.
Al, I appreciate you wanting to get involved in this, but we got this. You know what I'm saying? We're in an era of wokeness now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is what Al do, my nigga. Let's not kill Al, my nigga.
No,
this is Al do, though, bro.
Yo, I understand that, my brother, but we're in a different era right now. If you notice all the stuff that's been happening with all the marches like Ferguson and Black Lives Matter and all of that,
right.
The old school civil rights people aren't on the front line of this. The black church is not on the front line of this stuff. This is a different era we're in. You know, when you get the local preacher to be the voice of all black people, that era is, we're not here no more. You know what I'm saying? Black and I'm proud, and we out there. So, you know, I appreciate Al Sharpton saying that, but there's enough prominent black people who are supporting her who have a problem, and I like that. I like that.
Shout out D.L. Hewley also. Hold on, shout out D.L. Hewley also. Got to shout out D.L. Hewley because he's been on the front line about this for the last couple of days.
No doubt.
Shout out Colin Kaepernick also, throwing out a tweet and saying he support for Jemele Hill and shit. Man, do we expect this Colin Kaepernick situation to go as far as it's gone, brother? Like, we're seeing people's true colors.
Which was so great about what Colin Kaepernick did, because he ripped off the false reality that people think we live in. Police brutality is real. My brother Michael Bennett was scapegoated because he was the big black man in Vegas when they thought there was a shootout. They singled him out. They singled Michael Bennett out of everybody. So this is a reality that black men have faced. You know what I'm saying? I've never met a black person who's a man around my age group who don't have stories about our run-ins with the cops for no reason other than the color of our skin.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Colin Kaepernick highlights something. He didn't do a crime like Ray Caruth. He didn't obstruct justice like Ray Lewis. He didn't beat the shit out of his wife like Ray Rice. He didn't beat the shit out of his kids like Adrian Peterson. He wasn't doing foul, crazy shit like Lawrence Taylor, and it was getting swept under the rug by Bill Parcells. He had the audacity to say, I'm going to take a knee. And he said why I'm taking a knee. It's not for disrespecting the flag. It's for highlighting social injustices and police brutality to African Americans. And you know what the end?
Breaking up, fam. Yo. Sean. Yo. Nigga, call. Yeah, you got to call back. Sean's phone drop, y'all. You're going to call right back and stuff. But I would say this, though, that for Jemele Hill, I'm waiting for Sean to call back in the meantime. She has not deleted her tweets. And I like that. I like the fact that she did not delete her tweets. She's standing on her First Amendment rights. She's actually speaking her mind. Now, would I have said that in a position out on social media? No, because I know the backlash, and I fought my whole career to get where I'm at. Sean's back on, y'all. Hold on. Let me get back in there. Yo.
Yo, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you good, brother. You good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you know, recently the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles said he would not hire Colin Kaepernick because Colin Kaepernick disrespected the flag. That really, really upset me, because you damn sure was a forgiving Christian man when it came to Riley Cooper. So the great thing about the internet and social media is they show the Riley Cooper video. Riley Cooper is not a racist. He's a true believer of racism, and he's a hardcore, lifelong racist. Okay? A lifelong racist, hardcore. And your boy Michael Vick went out there and said, forgive Riley Cooper. Forgive him. You know, they always like to put a black face, a prominent black face up there and talk about forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
The owner of the Philadelphia Eagles said, I will not sign Colin Kaepernick because he disrupted the flag, whatever. When Colin Kaepernick articulately and clearly said, this is not why I'm protesting, that I'm not disrespecting the flag. This is what I'm trying to highlight. So the NFL has basically, all the owners have basically made it very clear, we don't want Colin Kaepernick on our team. They look at him like he's some Black Panther, black radical now. Can you imagine Colin Kaepernick? Think about this. Colin Kaepernick, who came from a Super Bowl, came from an NFC Championship. He got tattoos. He wilding. He's just a regular NFL player. He has some soul. He has some consciousness. Then he's like, look, I'm just a regular guy who's like,
Yo, you breaking up again, son. Sean phone breaking up again. But I like this conversation was going. Yo, call back, my nigga. Your phone can't hear you. So, yeah, but I totally agree about this Colin Kaepernick situation. If you look at it, man, this man is being blackballed for kneeling down and not raising his hand for the flag. Like, really think about that, y'all. Like, he's bringing social awareness to the world that black men out here are getting brutalized by policemen. And he can't get a job based on that. Let me get Sean back in. Yo.
Yo.
Hold on, let me see. Yo. Yeah, you good, bro.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, I mean, that's basically where we at, man. The Colin Kaepernick situation is gonna be the elephant in the room for the rest of the season, because it's going to be made clear. And owners are now coming out saying straight up and down, I'm not putting him on my team because I think he's divisive. So that's what, and he's divisive right. Because he's black people. So you got to take that how you want to take it.
And let's be real. Did Ray Lewis put a monkey wrench on his program when he went on? It was kind of cringeworthy. I'm not going to lie, Ray Lewis. I fucked with you heavy as a football player. But it just seemed like you're working for the man, so to speak, and you were the good old boy that the Baltimore Ravens owner was like, nah, Ray, please speak on behalf and let the black folks know that, you know, Colin, the reason he's not on here has nothing to do with him not kneeling down. I'm not buying that, man, at all. I thought Ray Lewis, you've been looking real fugazi the last couple times you've been on sports shows, my dude. That's just me, though.
I agree with you. I think Ray Lewis has destroyed his credibility outside of football. Great, great football player. But outside of football.
And Ray Lewis, your man Shannon Sharp, he ain't buying that either, bro. That might be your homie. It's the same thing with me and Sharp. We're homies. But if I say something that he's not going to team, he doesn't agree with, we're gonna speak about it. But you can just tell that Shannon Sharp ain't really feeling that.
Word.
That's what it is, man. Now, put a tweet out today, sir. Battle rap. I said, who's done more for battle rap, Tay Rock or Murder Mook? Some people say Tay Rock. A lot of people say Murder Mook. What's your thoughts, B?
I thought it was an insulting question to battle rap fans.
Insulting? That was an insulting question on my behalf? Are you serious?
Yes. I thought you insulted battle rap fans by asking such a preposterous question.
Wow, preposterous
now,
question.
Let me people don't know which way I'm going. Am I pro Mook or pro Tay Rock? Well, I'm going to say it right now. In the URL era, how was it even a question who's done more for battle rap, Tay Rock or Mook? Murder Mook has been about his bread. He's been about his money. He's made it very clear in interviews. I did all my battles back in the days for free. I want to get paid. So he sets these astronomical figures. Sometimes he gets it. Sometimes he doesn't. But in the modern battle rap sense, post-Smack DVD era, URL era, K-Rock is synonymous with URL. He was there at the beginning, and he is still headlining right now as we speak. Tay Rock is on an 8-year URL run. Murder Mook has one.
8 years. All right. Battle. All right. But out of the 8 years, though, how much of that did he get admiration and respect for? And now you're going to talk about you as the biggest Tay Rock fan that I know, that you've been following him since the old Red Clean Paper era, but I don't feel in that era Tay Rock was getting his just due or people really talking about Tay Rock heavy, whether it's in Facebook groups, on social media, or shows, or blogs, or other people talking.
So I remember his battle against Old Red. And that was during the era when the battle rappers wouldn't be in each other's faces. They'd be on one side of the stage. That was that era. And T-Rock had the line when he said, T-Rock's first round against Old Red is classic material. I loved battle rap. So to everybody, this is what I'll just say, to people who love T-Rock now and they want to get on this T-Rock is dope now phase, just pick any URL battle from between 2010 and 2012. Watch how T-Rock is performing and tell me, what do you see that's so different?
Nah, there's a difference, bro. There's a difference. There's a difference with T-Rock battle already clean now, bro. He's more polished, my nigga. Let's be real, son. He's more polished. He's a seasoned vet. He knows what he's doing when he gets on a basketball court, football field, or whatever you want to call it. He knows what moves to take. Like, he's more seasoned.
So here's the thing. In 2012, he battled Rich Dollars at Webster Hall. T-Rock was seasoned like a motherfucker in that battle.
His name wasn't ringing bells like that. Niggas was having T-Rock in his top five conversation when he battled Rich Dollars, my nigga. Come on.
Listen to me. His name rang bells in the building for everybody standing there watching it. Calico was on stage. Sue Surf was on stage. And Sue Surf was making the jazz face at the bars.
Yeah, but he wasn't on Surf's level at that time. He wasn't on Surf's level or Calico's level at that particular time.
That's not what I'm saying. It's not that he's on their level. Level is about perception. You know, you got people that say,
right, and the perception, you're absolutely right. And the perception was people felt, because at that time, Rock, if you want to say, was chasing niggas. Now he's at a level where he don't got to chase a motherfucker. You had Howard the Don chasing him. A couple years ago, we was having that conversation.
Here's the thing, and this is why you're making my point for me. It's because of the consistency of T-Rock that – think about this. Can you think of a URL era? Think of any era of URL in its short history where T-Rock wasn't there. He may not have been the main event, because at the main event of that battle, it was Tech N9ne and DNA. But T-Rock has been consistent every single year. He's worked his way up. He's battled every – here's another thing about T-Rock that nobody wants to acknowledge, but I'm going to give y'all niggas a fact.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
T-Rock has battled every PG class. T-Rock has battled every single PG class without thinking anything of it. Every single PG class.
But getting back to Mook, though, I'm going to read you something. Hold on. Where's it at? I'm going to read you something. Yeah, I said to somebody – they told me, trying to get it part of self. Well, go ahead. Keep talking. What do you think about the comparison with T-Rock and Murder Mook? Because we had guys like Joe Budden come on the show and hail Murder Mook as the creme de la creme of battle rap.
And here's what happened to Joe Budden. Joe Budden recently had Hollow the Don on his show, Everyday Struggle, which was yesterday, actually. And he talked about it. And you know what Joe Budden said? I never realized how many people don't like Murder Mook. And Hollow the Don said, yeah, a lot of people don't like him. A lot of people see him as putting the money first. And Joe Budden kept saying, why? I'm just shocked that so many people don't like Murder Mook. It's not that people don't like Murder Mook. It's that he's not battling. We can't judge him on anything.
Now, I'm going to read you the tweet. When I said, has T-Rock done more for battle rap than Murder Mook? Shout out to my guy, K. Willis, number 7 on social media. He said to me, Mook is the sole owner of this whole battle rap format. Nobody done more than him. We can kill that 3. And I said, surprised you taking that stance. He said, it's just a fact, bro. Niggas equate battling more to doing more. I don't. If that's the case, DNA did the most.
And to piggyback off of you saying DNA, that is why DNA is on Arsenal's Mount Rushmore. Now, let me just ether and eviscerate your man's tweet just now. So, since your man likes Smack DVDs so much, let's talk about the Smack DVD era.
If I'm not mistaken, it was Sia Castro versus Jay Mills that was the first SmackDown.
Yes, it was, sir.
And if
yes,
I'm not mistaken,
sir.
It was Murder Mook versus Jay Mills again that was the second Smack battle. So already, Jay Mills' name was already ringing way more than Mook's name was ringing. So I won't give Mook more pioneer status over Jay Mills. Jay Mills battled on a national television show against Enes, making a band with millions of people. And Diddy introduced him as, yo, this is the nicest dude in Harlem. I was like, word? The next thing you know, I see a DVD. And here's Jay Mills again. Next thing you know, I get another Smack DVD. And it's Jay Mills again. So you can't tell me Mook is the pioneer and the foundation when Jay Mills was doing it first, was seen first, and was
but
known
But I think Murder
first.
Mook gets more respect, though, than Jay Mills in his culture, though, my nigga. Come on now.
No. I'm
like,
trying to make
he's
the
not
point
talking about Jay Mills like that.
So it's not about it. It's just giving you the facts of what happened. Like, I can't say, you know, if Jackie Robinson was the first black player in the Major League Baseball, he was the first black player. You can't take that away because Willie Mays was better than him. Willie Mays was a better baseball player than Jackie Robinson. But that does not change the fact that Jackie Robinson was the first to integrate it. Is that a fact?
No, that's actual factual.
Okay,
well,
factual,
so let me ask you a question then. Why do people have, say, Murder Mook is the logo? Why do some of the older gods in hip-hop, whether it's the Mickey Thatcher of the world, the Joe Buttons, and other Busta Rhymes, and these brothers put Mook on a king status?
Because they don't know anything about battle rap.
If you ask Busta Rhymes who Tay Rock is, he probably know who Tay Rock is, but you know, he signed Murder Mook on a pedestal. And we have to be fair to Mook, Sean, we can't ignore his record after battling Young Hop. We just can't ignore that. That's all I'm saying.
You can't sweep that under the rug.
The Cleveland Indians of baseball won 21 games in a row, my nigga. That Mook, has he lost a round in a long time, my nigga? I'm just saying.
When the Golden State Warriors won 73 games and set the world record, everybody said if they don't win the championship, it's going to nullify that season. And guess what happened? They did not win the NBA championship that year. So that 73 wins, the best record in NBA history, then they lost the finals. That's what happened. Here's the reality. Mook in the Smack DVD era is legendary. You hear me? That's me giving Mook his props. And the Smack DVD era, Mook was legendary and iconic. I loved it. Do you know how hype I was to see Mook versus Sirius Jones? Do you know how hype I was to see a Mook battle? I loved it. In the Smack DVD era, mind you guys, there was no such thing as YouTube then. YouTube came out in 2005, okay? And that era, Mook was great. Fast forward, URL, Ultimate Rap League. Mook has done nothing in the URL era. And that's the era I'm talking about. How can someone even debate what Tay-Rock has done for battle rap and compare it to what Mook has done when Tay-Rock is on his fifth?
So you're on record saying Tay-Rock has done more for battle rap than Murder Mook.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not even a debate. It's not even a question. Now I'm going
to
get back to your
You have to elaborate on that, though.
I'm going to elaborate on it. He battles, meaning when you battle, you contribute to the culture. That's what contribution means. Not standing behind cheering people on, not asking for astronomical prices that no one can reach. You know what I'm saying? Here's what I will say about that. Let's talk about all the battle rappers from the Smack DVD era. Iron Solomon.
It was a small portion, though. Small portion.
Wait a minute.
The sample
Iron
size.
Solomon. Iron Solomon, T-Rex, Loaded Luck, Mal Hoffa, Sirius Jones, Head Ice. They all are from the on-cam DVD era of battle rapping. And they all battle rap to this day, and they have not stopped. Because when battle rap transitioned to YouTube, and there was a new era and new generation of battle rappers, all the guys I just named battled these new guys.
I ain't Solomon battled B-Magic for crying out loud. You know what I'm saying? He believes in his pen. He believes he can battle niggas. He's not afraid to put his status on the line. That's
when you and I interviewed Arsenal, hold on, when you and I interviewed Arsenal, he said something. He was like, he feel that Mook is scared to put his legacy, so to speak, on the line. Do you think that's what it really is, or is it just a money thing? What is the real reason?
You first of all, you know it's not a money thing. Arsenal made it very clear that it's not a money thing.
Mm-hmm.
He made it very clear that it's not a money thing. He had the money. He even told us, he said, if you saw the money Snoop was offering him that he turned down, so clearly it can't be about the money.
What do you think about him turning down money from Snoop and just having Snoop come at you and be like, yo, my man, you and us, let's get it popping.
And here's the thing. That is why the industry guys don't know what's going on. You know, a Snoop,
right,
a Busta Rhymes. They know Mook from the Smack DVD era, so they're like, okay, this is the king battle rapper from that era. Let me get him to battle rap one of these dudes. And
well, Mickey Fax is part
of
this culture. Mickey Fax is part of his culture. He ride for Mook Hard Body Karate. You know that. You and I both know that.
Here's the thing. Mickey Fax disqualifies himself because his biasness is unreasonable. It's biased beyond bias. I mean, he's the same guy that said, if Tay-Rock battled Jay Mills on Lennox Ave, nobody would know who Tay-Rock is. I mean, come on, my nigga. You know who Tay-Rock is. You know what I'm saying? You said what they think. Nobody thinks Jay Mills can fuck with Tay-Rock right now. In a battle?
I don't think that at all. Nope, not Jay Mills. I'm sorry, B.
Right now?
Nope.
Come on, man. You know,
and listen.
Mickey Fax, to me, when I first started getting into battle rap, I thought he was a guru. I felt he knew more about battle rap because he knew about all the Harlem battle rap MCs. I knew nothing about them. He knew everything about them. But guess what happened? There were different parts of the country where all these battle rappers came from. So the culture just blew up all over the country. So it wasn't just about Harlem. It was about everywhere else. Battle rap has changed. And the reality is Mook does not want to battle. You can't say if he wanted to battle, he'd just battle. You think Hollow and Lux ain't asking for bags? You know the stuff Arsenal had to do to accommodate Lux to get that Hollow battle?
Right.
I mean, he did everything for him.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, Lux still wanted to battle. And let's get another thing clear. Lux gets industry love. Industry niggas rap with Lux. So we can never do that.
I want to piggyback on what you're saying about Lux. I was watching Joe Budden podcast earlier, and Maul, Rory, and Joe Budden, they were talking about the Lux and Arsenal battle, and they were just digging up Lux hard body and shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? The shit Lux be saying, da-da-da-da-da, shit be over the heads. Like, so, yeah, industry dudes fuck with Lux also. You think they fuck with Lux more than Mook or Mook more than Lux?
I think they fuck with them equally, which means... then why isn't Mook battling? Because Lux is getting the bags, and he's battling. Lux is battling knowing that there are people think Arsenal won that battle. And Lux is okay with it, and Lux is still saying, I get a boy JC a shot. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Lux adapted to this era where, you know what, there's going to be times where people are just going to think someone's nicer than me. I think Mook likes his 8-0 record in the rounds. I think he likes his Floyd Mayweather status. And when I say that, meaning Floyd Mayweather has no law. They say Floyd Mayweather strategically picked his opponents, and he fought them when he felt he couldn't lose to them because he cared more about his record than anything else. That's one of the criticisms of Floyd.
So, do you think Tay-Rock looks at Murder Mook? Do you think Tay-Rock looks at Murder Mook like, yeah, you know, we doubt my brothers, so to speak. You know, you being able to form me, so to speak, but I'm better than you. You think Tay-Rock looks at Murder Mook like, you know, he might be the big homie, whatever, but I still will murder this nigga?
No, I don't. I think Tay-Rock has nothing but respect and admiration for Murder Mook.
Yeah, definitely.
I really think that. I don't think.
But see, you use the word admiration, though. See, you use the word admiration.
I do. So for you to say Tay-Rock has admiration,
that's a big word to put into somebody's name.
I think he has high respect for him.
You never hear him talk crazy about Murder Mook. You never hear him talk crazy about T-Rex. And the thing about T-Rex and Murder Mook, they always gave Tay. And here's the thing. They always gave Tay Rock his props. Always. This
they
never
did. That's true.
Think about
you know this. What? I got to co-sign what you're saying, because when they was giving Tay Rock mad love, I was like, all right, cool, you know. All right. Because at one time, I had Shine Over Rock. Let's be clear. I had Shine Over Rock at one time.
I remember in the early days of battle rap, of the URL era, they would have videos, and it would be Tay Rock and T-Rex, and they'd just be freestyling on a couch somewhere. And then it would be Tay Rock turn to rap. And when he would start rapping, Rex was feeling it. Rex was like, yeah, this nigga's nice. Like, Don Mob, here's the thing. Don Mob knew Tay Rock was nice. They knew it when Tay Rock wasn't popular with everybody. Don Mob knew he was dead nice.
They saw something. They saw something.
To the point now, T-Rex is saying, I'm Cave Gang. Like, think about that role reversal. Saying, Tay Rock is holding this shit down, straight up.
Right.
So T-Rex has always been 100 with Tay Rock the whole time. He's never been.
Now, hold on. T-Rex calls himself Mr. Summer Madness. I can't. T-Rex, I think that's Tay Rock's title now, brother. I'm sorry, T-Rex. I can't call you Mr. Summer Madness and all that. No.
I don't think.
Sorry, Tech N9ne.
And I don't think T-Rex would be mad at you for that. I think he respects Rock. He respects Rock. You know why these guys respect him, even Verb? They'll say, nobody was checking for Rock back then. Nobody's checking for Rock back then. Even if that's the case, everybody's checking for Rock now. And when you go back to any era of URL, Rock was there. Battle. That's all. So to me, I call Rock the most consistent battler in URL history.
Some nigga said to me, any top tier that's battled consistently has done more than Mook.
That's a fact. That's my feeling. That's how I judge it. That's how Arsenal judges it. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all need to listen to Arsenal's interview on PSA Podcast. It is a great, great interview, because Arsenal breaks it down very clearly. He breaks it down very clearly, everything. It can't be about the bag with Mook. It can't be about money, because he's turned big money down, according to Arsenal. This is just according to Arsenal. But Arsenal's saying he had the bag. He's saying Snoop had a crazy bag for him. So, and it's just simple. You think it's easy to get Lux? No, you got to pay Lux. But the difference is Lux wants to battle. And Lux, do you understand Lux battled Howard the Don, and that's a very heated, debated battle? The industry guys will say Lux won, but then a lot of people will say Hollow won. I'm one of the guys who think Hollow won.
Lux.
Dre, you think
Lux
won, right? Royce thinks Hollow won. Joe Budden thinks Lux won. But the point is, I think by Lux doing that, he realized, you know what, I'm okay with this. I'm okay with people thinking I lost. I'm still going to battle these dudes and put my pen. Because Lux believes in his pen. Lux has a lyrical pen, and he believes in it. You know what I'm saying?
So who has better battles? Who has better battles on footage-wise? Murder Mook or Tay-Rock?
Tay-Rock.
By far.
By far? It's a different era.
I totally agree with that.
It's the seasoned. Tay Rock has been seasoned since 2013. I will take it as far back as I think he was seasoned when he battled Clean. If you want to disagree with me, then I will say, because he won it. To me, I think he won that clearly. But I will take it a step further. I thought he was seasoned when he battled Cortez. I thought he was seasoned when he battled Rich Dollars. I thought he was seasoned. I mean,
I will always say this about Tay Rock. That man got bodied by Charlie Clips and took that loss, and man, did he freak that, because a lot of niggas get a loss like that, and you can't bounce back and have conversations where niggas are saying you the face of URL now. Fast forward years down, you know, 3-4 years down the road now, 5 years now, people are saying this. But
and here's,
Tay-Rock,
here's the thing.
That's the question, y'all. Please leave comments on the bottom. That's Tay Rock. Done more for battle rap than Murder Mook. I would love to read your comments. There, though.
And here's the great thing about it. When he battled Charlie Clips the second time, he still didn't know if he could beat Charlie Clips. Because if you watch that battle,
K-Rock
was rapping.
I agree.
K-Rock was rapping very fast and just getting through his bars. Like it meant so much to him because this was his defining moment where either you
yes.
come back and you become who you are now. And if you notice, he's just rapping fast and getting his bars out. And and let me tell y'all something. That battle would have went down where it was supposed to go down in Nome. The perception
yeah.
of that battle would
good
be
point.
Very different.
Good point.
It would be
good point.
Very different. Okay? I know that for a fact. Because I was at the Nome.
No,
that's
a good point.
Battle.
I totally agree with that. Good point.
Okay?
Good
I
point.
Remember that Nome, the 2014 Nome. That battle was supposed to happen in that building at Urban Plaza. The bars they spit, that was going to be a classic battle. If the same bars they spit happened in Urban Plaza that night, you know. So that's why you got to give T-Rock quote out the bag that Clips put him in. I mean, I remember
yeah.
Bo would say, "I Charlie Rock T-Rock you." He used that against people.
That was the joke. That was the joke.
You're right. And you know what they would call him? Tay-Tay. Remember Clean Paper would call
yep.
him Tay-Tay? Try to diss him?
Tay-Tay,
his
yep.
body clean. He beat Clean. Would easily beat him in Detroit.
I don't think he killed him. I got
Did
him winning, but I don't think he killed
okay.
him.
Okay, you got
yeah,
him winning,
said kill,
though.
My nigga. He didn't kill
yeah,
him.
I
got him winning,
yeah. This was a kill, because he won every round. How's a kill when you win every round? He won every round. He won every round.
No, I think Clean won one of them rounds, though, B. I think Clean won. I think Clean won one of them rounds, B.
Listen,
it was 2-1.
Okay, I know you think that. I that's the battle I used to rewatch a lot. Clean had no third.
Oh,
so you tell me how you could battle Tay-Rock with no third and you don't get killed. Explain that to me.
Mm. Right.
Okay.
Well, that's what it is, man. Tay-Rock, listen, that boy is on fire right now. I need Tay-Rock. Hitman, Disaster, Conceited. My nigga, you get through those cats, man. I got to put you in my Rushmore, man. If he beats those cats. He's not on mine yet.
He's on mine. He just battled Hollow. He just battled the Denanon. He just battled the Denanon. Who's on a lot of people's Mount Rushmore.
But some people have Hollow winning that also, sir. Make sure you throw that out there also. There's some people,
I mean, some people.
I had
T-Rock.
Let me throw that. I had T-Rock 2-1. Okay.
And today on your interview, you had Battle Slave say Hollow won. So now you have me
won.
T-Rock won that battle to me.
But
you
need to let, hold on, sir. You need to let the people know who your favorite battle rapper is before you do that, though. Okay.
My favorite battle rapper. Estrange the Wordplay King from Buffalo. That's my favorite battle.
Oh, man.
Strange the Wordplay King from Buffalo. Shout to 400
boy.
Block. Shout to 400 Block because he got some classic 400 Block. You're speaking of 400 Block,
really?
K-Rock was battling in that era. That era when it was 400 Block and Smack used to
hold outside,
400 Block
shows,
DVD.
Yes.
Remember when Smack used to host them videos?
Yes.
Remember? Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
T-Rock
man.
Was battling in that era. For those who want to know why I say T-Rock is the most consistent battler in URL history.
That's what it is, man. Take us home, my nigga.
PSA Podcast. You want to hear that battle rap talk? You just heard in detail battle rap talk. You just heard it. Want to hear that sports talk? You know that's us. And let me just say it again. When it comes to appreciations, everybody fall back. And my Humpty Hump, stop what you're doing because I'm about to ruin. All right? Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
Oh, man.
Leave hip-hop alone.
Yeah.
It's but so far back,
yeah,
y'all can go.
Facts. That's what it is, man. We out, man. PSA Podcast, man. One.